in the rest of the chapter also. There are those that read passages like this in the Old Testament that see it as nothing more than ancient history about a people long gone that really has no relevance for our day. But I reminded of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Paul said, now all things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Paul said that all of those things of history, God preserved them for examples unto us that we had heard from what they experienced. I say to our hearts, it would be foolish for us to ignore what God has given us examples in the Word of God. I believe that God has things to say in our hearts that are not relevant to my life, to my home, to our nation, into our world yet today. I realize that this coming week our nation will celebrate 248 years since 1776. Our God has blessed our nation greatly. I am thankful today to be an American. I thank God as Chris spoke about. I thank God for being born where I was born. Raised as I've been raised. I rejoice in the freedoms that God's given us as a nation. I rejoice in just the blessings to worship freely in America. And I realized today that our nation is in a critical place today. I realized that we are facing some of the greatest challenges our world and our nation has ever faced. As I pondered on all of these things, I began to be reminded of this chapter. I began to think about all that happened in that day. heads up. Let red in her hearing. Pad up. Put your down patient. Yes, here we are. Hey. The other chance of wonder. Just as Belshazzar saw the writing of the man from the wall. I begin to wonder this week. Left in America, we are seeing the writing on the wall for our nation. I don't know where that this upcoming election will take us. All of that is in the hands of God. All of that is up to Him. I will tell you, my thoughts right now. I hope that the church will be gone by November. I love to leave it all in the hands of this old world. I love to know that that is the children of God. We don't have to wonder about it and worry about it, because we'll be at home with Him. Would that be a blessing? Oh, it'd be wonderful. If Jesus would come today, I'd be all right with that. How about you? I'd be just fine. I don't have just a dime to go back to the house floor. I don't have anything I need to take care of before he comes. I'd be just fine for him to come back today. But whenever he comes, I know he's in charge and he's in control. But I want to just take a few minutes. I'm not going to take a lot of time, because I am really having a difficult time trying to focus on it. I may not print great big print. Don't that help? But it still ain't cutting the mustard yet. But it'll get done with the Lord's help. I begin to ponder how Bethlehem and Belshazzar got to the place of seeing the handwriting on the wall. And then I began to see the parallels with America. Preacher, what are you talking about? I believe Belshazzar failed to appreciate his heritage. I read the verses past the hand writing on the wall. Bible tells us that the astrologers, soothsayers, all of them, wise men of Bethlehem,
couldn't make out what it said. The queen comes into the banquet hall. And the queen, actually they tell us it was probably Belshazzar's grandmother. Probably Belshazzar's grandmother. They would have called the queen mother. She comes in. She says, there was a man under the rule of your father, which is talking about his grandfather. She realized that they often called those before them fathers. They would often call that father Abraham, but he wasn't their actual father, but he was their forefather. So who is they all called him? Talk about Nebuchadnezzar, who would have been Belshazzar's grandfather. She says that this man named Daniel, oh, he has got a spirit about him, understanding hard sayings, difficult things. So they bring Daniel in. Daniel, I'm not gonna try to read all the verses, but in verse 18 and hold down, Daniel starts to tell him about his heritage. Daniel says that, thank God, God had given your father Nebuchadnezzar, God gave him a kingdom. God gave him great glory. God blessed him in a great way. But he said he got boasted in pride. God lifted up, didn't humble himself. Daniel said God took it away. And God probably contingent hold up behind of Nebuchadnezzar. They sent him out into the fields. He acted like a wild animal till he humbled himself. God restored him. Notice what Daniel says in verse 22. Then thou his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou doest all this. Daniel said, Belshazzar, you to you. About your heritage. You knew how God blessed Nebuchadnezzar and gave him a land. How God humbled him and restored him. But he said, Belshazzar, you do all this, but fail to humble yourself. Preacher, what are you getting at in all of that? There is a move in our society today that is denying our Christian heritage. There is a move that in our world, our nation, saying Our forefathers, they weren't what you thought they were. They weren't godly men. Those that framed our Constitution, they weren't being right with God. They deny our Judeo-Christian heritage. They aren't appreciating how God birthed our nation. I thank God. Thank God put it in the heart of men and women to leave England, come to America, settle in this country, and desire religious freedom to worship and honor God. Our forefathers, those who framed our Constitution, those who wrote the Declaration of Independence, they were godly men and women that birthed this country. I want to just give you couple of things. Patrick Henry, you probably remember him. Patrick Henry was famous for saying, "Give me liberty or give me death." You remember that? Patrick Henry said this. And the quote, it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religion, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was our forefathers. That was what saying foundation was founded by Christians in the gospel of Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams, who ended up being our sixth president, said from the time of the Declaration of Independence, the American people were bound by the laws of God and the laws of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which they all acknowledged as the root of their conduct. We all came together to obey the word of God. I want to tell you, our country had a solid foundation. Godly men, godly people, serving God. Although they were perfect, they failed on occasion. But they declared it was by faith in God that our nation was born. I want to tell you, from the very beginning, God's hand has been on our nation. God has blessed America. They can all criticize. They can all make lies of our founding fathers. I want to tell you, our nation was founded in God. But I'm afraid we're a generation losing that. We're a generation, it's to where they're wanting to change what our kids are told in schools about our history. They are changing the ideas of our founding fathers. Changing what our country was based on. We're even told about the only reason we have a country is because we were so big in the slavery and all of that. I agree, slavery was a horrible thing. I agree with that. But I want to tell you, our people loved God. That started our nation. But I blame Belshazzar for one thing. He had forgotten all about the good hand of God on their nation. But I blame the second thing they did that brought the writing on the wall was they made a mockery out of holy things. Made a mockery out of holy things. Bible says that as they partied and celebrated, Belshazzar said, don't give the gold and the silver vessels that we brought out of the temple in Jerusalem. Yet they poured their wine in it, celebrated the gods of wood and stone and gold and silver. Daniel points that out again. Verse 23. He said to Belshazzar, but thou lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they brought in the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives and thy concubines, and drink wine in them. Praise the gods. Gold and silver was gone. They made a mockery of holy things. Preacher, is our nation made a mockery of holy things today? We sure have. I believe it was God in the Garden of Eden made the sanctity of the home and the family. But our nation has disregarded the holy things of the family. The holy things of the marriage between a man and a woman. They want us to accept that it's all right to live a lesbian lifestyle, homosexual lifestyle. As a matter of fact, they pride themselves in such arrogance to God. Right now, they celebrate pride marches and pride days. And they say to Christians that you ought to be tolerant. Y'all tolerate all that. Because it's all right. That is their lifestyle and their choice. And they tell us that transgenderism is all right as well. Did I tell you something? Maybe you don't know this, but there are places in the times of the Bible that there was transgenderism. Yet some of those ancient God-worshipping temples called the capital G, O God. But in those ancient temples of worship to sacrifices. Some of the men would dress like women. Some of the women would dress like men. Parade themselves in their debauchery in those temples, worshiping their idols. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying it's all an ungodly mess is what it is. Ungodliness and sin and damnation is being acceptable in all of that. I'm saying we made a mockery of holy things. Preachers, is there anything else? While there is, what about abortions? What about the sanctity of human life? I tell you, it's not there today. One of the big issues that will be a part of this election is the battle over abortions. Every day on the news, they're arguing about it. Every day, there are commercials for and against abortions. I want to tell you, our nation's made a mockery of the sanctity of human life. Somebody, I remember my dad used to say it years ago. He used to say it years ago. If God doesn't judge America for our sins today, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I still believe that. And God will not apologize for judging sin. I'm saying these things today, folks, because I'm wondering if the writing on the wall is for America. That God is saying things about to really get bad because of your wickedness. We are watching as Christians and churches are marginalized, pushed to the sidelines. The day will come right now. Right now, churches don't have to pay taxes, but I look for the time to come. Churches will lose their tax-exempt title. If it goes on and Jesus doesn't come soon, I look for that. I look for pressure from the government on churches, Christianity, believers in Christ. But then there's a last one. I believe that the writing on the wall changed more of them because they lowered the respect for God's greatness. Look at the latter part in verse 23. He said, and thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron, wood and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Daniel said, the God of heaven that has given you breath to breathe, God in heaven that has given you life, strength and health, he said, you've not glorified him. I want to say our nation is a country of many gods today. I'm afraid that we are people that worship the gods of silver and gold, the gods of the money, gods of possessions, gods of what we have and what we can give. And we don't appreciate the one they listen. God, while I was in our heart, the handwriting came on the wall. Belshazzar needs somebody to tell me what it means. Daniel says, I'll tell you. He said, that word means. He said, that word means that God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Said the word Tikal means thou art weighed in the palaces, found wanting. He said the last word, Kupharsin or Perez, says God is giving your kingdom to the Medes and the Persians. That chapter goes on to end, says that very night, the Persians came in, conquered the city, killed Belshazzar that very night, and they took the land. I love America today. I love my country. Breaks my heart to see all that is happening in our nation and in our world. I'm going to say something very similar to what Chris said, because it was in my heart also. Some may say, what are we to do? Because our country is in such a mess. I reminded that even in the mess that Babylon was, God had a Daniel. There was also a Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego somewhere. They're not mentioned in this story, but they were somewhere. Preacher, what did you do? Daniel just lived for God. That's what Chris was saying earlier. When he came across that, I thought, Lord, that just joined right up with how I feel in him. We need to live for Jesus. Whether he comes today, whether he comes this year, whether he comes 20 years down the road, we need to live for Jesus. We need to honor him. Preacher, what else did Daniel do? Daniel prayed. Chapter 6 tells us that even when the king's orders said, don't pray to any other god, Daniel went to his room like he always did. Got on his knees 3 times a day, opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and prayed to the God of heaven. Preacher, what can we do? Well, we live in the Lord. And we pray. Pray for your nation today. I've been saying that for weeks and months on our prayer list. Pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders of our nation. People, we need to be praying for our nation. We are, I said it earlier, but in case you missed it, I'm going to say it again. We are at a critical juncture for our nation. For our nation. There's been a lot of talk since the debate the other night. Been a lot of calls for Biden to step down out of the race. I even read this morning, there was a news report that said Bags and his family are staying at Camp David right now, discussing the future of the campaign. Preacher, what would that do if he would step down? It'll make a bigger mess. It's just going to be a mess wherever it goes. I don't know what's going to happen in all of this. But I'm trying to pray. Trying to ask God somehow to touch in our nation again. Folks, we need revival among God's children. We need a stirring of God among God's family to stand and be counted for Him, to honor Him while we can, while we have freedom, while we have the opportunity. I thank God for His blessings. I don't know where this thing's headed. Don't know where it's all going to end up. Do you say, preacher, this message has been a downer today, haven't it, though? Haven't it, though, what the kind you shout and say, amen, glory, heaven to heaven and home? Hadn't been that time. But God worked me over pretty hard on this. I kept telling Him, Lord, no, not this, not something else. Give me something that will lift them up and encourage them and help them to press on. God said they need to realize things are serious in our nation today. They need to be praying, serving God, honoring Him. Because one of these days, things, they change. I can't even believe the writing is on the wall for America today. God has been good and blessed us. I've often even heard some say they believe God has already taken His hand away off America, and He may be. Maybe that's why there's so many terrible tornadoes and storms and so much disease and sickness. Maybe God is saying, I just take the hand of my blessings away. See how you do without me. A challenge to your heart and mind today. Pray for your nation. Pray for your leaders. Pray God would do a work. Pray that God would help us to serve and honor Him till one day we could go home. And what a day that'll be. Brother Kevin, if you will, let you give us a song. I don't know how to give an invitation to this. I don't know how to invite you to found an altar and pray about this. I don't know. Maybe the Lord was just wanting to deal with our hearts about the seriousness of our times, that we might draw near to Him. But if there is a need somewhere, somehow, God can meet it. There's one lost He can save. There's one far from Him. He can bring you back home where you ought to be. But whatever need you have, let's stand. And we'll sing a verse of a song. God speaks to you.